This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, everyone. It's the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. It was so funny. It's Wednesday morning, time of recording, time of releasing this podcast. And when we were on air this morning, we were live on air. And all of a sudden, all of these people on bikes came up to our window.
It was very weird.
They were all wearing yellow helmets and
Lycra.
They weren't after us. Like, there's a few studios in the building we broadcast from. But it was so weird because it was like this gaggle of cyclists.
Is that what you call a group of cyclists?
No, I made that
up. A gaggle? Because that's geese.
Well, I reckon you're a goose if you ride long distances. But they all came up and they got their helmets on and stuff and they start pressing their eyes against the window. And I think you were doing trending or something.
It was like very distracting.
Wasn't it?
Super distracting.
Gabby's like, the cyclists, they've come to recruit me.
Do you know what it felt like on the Today Show where they've always got people in
the back
holding up signs going, hi, Mom. I'm like, oh, my God, we've made it.
We'd be no good on sunrise. We'd be no good on sunrise. It was at this exact time yesterday, Gabs, on the show. I talked about how it was night before last. So it was Monday night. It all got too much for me because there was a lot of emotion in the air on Monday's show when we talked about your and Nev's fertility struggles.
Yes.
That was hectic. Plus, we're trying to finance moving house, like, you know, upgrading our home.
That's hectic.
It's just stressful. And it all got too much when I finally stopped. Like, it was a massive day on Monday. Got up at 3:30, did the show or whatever, straight to the bank, like, went on, got the kids. And I finally stopped at, like, 6:30, 7 o'clock. And an ad came on for 50 years of McDonald's. And I'm like, that'll do, man.
I'm a mess.
Out came the waterworks.
We met 50 years ago, back in Yagoona. You rocked up in boardies and thongs. Nice one. You've always put your own spin on things. You made fries part of our Sundays.
And put Daryl Braithwaite behind anything.
Gets you every time, doesn't it? Doesn't matter if it's about fries, it'll get you.
What the bit in the ad that really got me was the little girl with the birthday cake, and she's like the voiceover's like, oh, we've celebrated many birthdays over the years, but now it's our 50th. And I'm like, oh, it is your 50th. Good on you, it's your bloody legends. But
yes,
breaking news. Turns out I'm not the only one that's lost it at a Macca's ad. They are a repeat offender.
They are.
In this field.
And it's quite funny because I was laughing at you on Monday when you told me about this. And I was just like, that's silly that you'd laugh at a Macca's ad. But there is one that I've cried at before. And that's where the dad's trying to get the baby to sleep in the car. And so he can't stop driving because the baby will wake up. And so he just keeps looping and looping and looping around drive-through to get his order in.
It's a coffee, of course, because he's losing sleep.
Exactly.
And he's got to kind of whisper it. This is the ad if you haven't seen it before.
Hi, can I have a strong skim latte?
Hello? Sir?
Strong skim latte, please.
Sir, did you say strong skim latte?
Yeah, medium, please.
All the Macca's crew
so
comes together to get him his coffee.
And it warms my heart that they were so receptive.
I don't know if you remember. Producer Brooke, you might remember this one as well, too. There was one recently where there was a mother and a daughter. It was a McDonald's ad. It's just coming back to me in pieces. And it was something to do with a pickle.
Yes, a pickle in a sundae. And she announced her pregnancy with the pickle in a sundae.
Oh,
yes. That was the
best. What are you doing, McDonald's?
What? How are they doing this to us?
That's three sad Macca's ads.
Right. And bit like happy tear sad.
All of them, yeah. Look, 13, 10, 60. It hasn't got to be a Macca's ad. Let's open it up wide. But
I think
is
we've
there
covered
ad?
The Macca's ads.
I think we've done every emotional McDonald's ad that's ever been made. But 13, 10, 60, is there an ad that made you cry? All right, this is going to be a shallow pool because, look, it's a pretty pathetic thing to cry at an advert on TV. I'm putting my hand up and admitting that. But
sometimes you're just, you know, you're done. You had a really hard day. You're a real emotional person. Or maybe it's just a really good ad. And you sit down, you're like, oh, that 30 seconds really just got me in the heart.
I tell you what, you got to take your hat off to the people who make
30
these ads.
Seconds.
Like, to bring that emotion out
amazing.
In 30 seconds or less.
They've done well.
That's mad storytelling skills there. 13, 10, 60. Give us a call. What ad made you cry? And I don't want to point fingers, but I'm looking at puppies rolling around in toilet paper.
Oh, puppies. The sorbent commercials. Oh, is it sorbent? One of them. The puppies are the toilet paper.
That clearly didn't do its job because we can't even associate the brand with the toilet paper.
We know the ad.
131060. Karen's caught up. Karen, don't tell me there's another Macca's ad that's really emotional.
The saddest one ever.
Which one is it?
So it was played around Anzac Day, and this old man, he had all his medals on his chest. He'd obviously been to the parade, and he's sitting at the table, and he wanted a refill coffee, and the young girl come and bought him the coffee, and he looked up at her and he said, thank you. And she turned to him and she said, no, thank you, sir.
I remember that. I'm getting teary just at the thought.
You retelling that has teared me up.
Because I can imagine my papa doing that, hey.
Yeah, it was the saddest McDonald's ad ever, and I cry even just thinking about it. It's beautiful.
Well, you've got me and Gabby. You've totally got me and Gabby.
Buggers, you buggers.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you.
So sweet.
We're never gonna get one on.
Never gonna get one on.
Never gonna get one on.
Never gonna get one.
This morning we did put it out that we wanted to talk to a witch or someone who does practice witchcraft. I believe Wicca is the name. I'm not sure. That's why we're talking to someone now about it. We've tracked down Pam Grossman, who's a writer, curator, teacher of magical practice and history. How are you going, Pam?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Good, Pam. So we're actually speaking to you in New York City. Our producer Brooke has found us a witch in New York. And it sounds rude, me saying you're a witch, Pam, but it's not rude. You're a witch.
Exactly. It's only rude if someone doesn't call themselves a witch, but I've given you permission to do so, so you're all good.
Wonderful. So what does it actually mean, being a witch? What do you do on a day-to-day basis in that regard?
Sure. You know, the word witch is such an interesting one because it really does vary from person to person. In my case, I am called a witch and call myself a witch because I believe in magic. I cast spells. I'm also a practicing pagan. You mentioned Wicca before. Wicca is one type of paganism, if you will. Pagan is a really great umbrella term. And so it's a big part of my spiritual life as well as my magical life, witchcraft.
Okay, so to steal a line from The Wizard of Oz, are you a good witch or a bad witch?
I like to think of myself as a good witch. I do not hex people. I do not do any kind of malevolent or evil magic at all. But, you know, certainly there are people out there who do magic to protect themselves. And so the lines can get arguably blurry. But in my case, I am as good as I can be.
So when you say do magic, what do you mean? Are you creating potions? Are you doing spells? Like, what is doing magic?
Yeah, in my case, it's a little bit of all of the above. I certainly do cast spells and I do rituals to connect to the divinity in nature. And so doing magic, you know, certainly it can be trying to change something in my life or in the lives of others. But it's also very much about trying to connect to divinity in general.
How interesting.
In 1996, a movie came out. It was a massive blockbuster called The Craft. Is being a witch anything like The Craft?
Well, I'm so happy you brought that up because I was actually one of the occult consultants for The Craft reboot, the film that just came out.
Really?
It's called The Craft Legacy. Yes, yes. So I can tell you that our film, the reboot of it, is a little bit more in sync with what it's actually like to be a witch. But they had an occult consultant on the first film, and she was a practicing Wiccan, and so they did their due diligence too. So it's part fact and part fiction. There's certainly a lot of poetic license that's used in both films, but both are drawing on certain rituals and spells that are established.
Wow.
I'm glad you've thrown out there fact or fiction because we wanted to play a game of fact or fiction.
Let's do it.
Can we just throw some witch stereotypes at you and can you tell us if these are fact or just complete fiction?
Oh, that sounds fun. Let's do it.
Okay. Number one, real witches fly on broomsticks.
That is, believe it or not, that is fiction, but it may be based in fact. And I know this is a morning show, so I'm going to try to keep this, not as adult as it could be.
Please.
So I'll leave it to your listeners' imagination.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yep. Let's move on. witches own a cauldron.
Many of us do. Absolutely. You know, there are kitchen witches. So people who infuse magic into their cooking and a lot of healing properties. And many of us have cauldrons that are smaller on our altars. I'm looking at mine right now and I use it to burn incense. So yes, many of us do have cauldrons.
Okay.
Witches have green skin and warts on their noses.
If you have that, I would go to a doctor. So no, we do not usually, especially the green skin. And that is actually very much based on the MGM film of 1939, The Wizard of Oz. You know, they really popularized that. And it looked great in Technicolor at the time.
And that's all that mattered.
Exactly.
There you go.
Wow. Thanks, Pam.
You've been an open book. Pam the Witch, all the way from Brooklyn, New York City. Thank you so much for joining us for Cliffo and Gabby's Never Gonna Get One.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
There's been a lot of talk this week about the road to pregnancy after on Monday I revealed that for the last 10 months we have been trying to have a baby, me and fiance Nev, and it has not been successful as of yet, and it's quite an emotional kind of time going through what you think is going to be an easy process, and it's not always that way. But over the last couple of days I've been receiving so many messages, so many beautiful people, men and women, who have messaged me with their own stories of their own journey along trying to conceive.
Has that been nice?
It's been so nice.
Okay, that's been on my mind because you and Nev made the conscious choice to keep what you were doing, your journey or whatever, a secret for 10 months.
Yes.
And then it got to the point where you kind of realized that that wasn't working because you didn't have the support around you.
Exactly.
So I was just thinking about it the other day. Like, you've gone from having no support other than each other. Like, you didn't even tell your mum.
Yeah.
To having, like, a whole state. Because like, we have been, it's been ridiculous, the amount of correspondence.
You're right.
That's come through on the phones and on the socials.
It has been pretty overwhelming. Like, I have had to put my phone down and just have, some time away from it all over the last few days because there's a lot. And some stories are absolutely heartbreaking that have come through. However, hearing other people's stories, especially the ones where, it has been tough, but it has ended up with a beautiful little baby, I have found a lot of solace in that. There's a lot of stories that it took years to get to that end goal. And it's been kind of comforting because I have felt alone for the past 10 months, even though I know it, this happens. Actually talking just distract you throughout the process.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? I find it so fascinating that like you for a long while there didn't want anyone to know, and then you thought to yourself, well, this is not working. So you went the other way and you sort of told everyone. And that's kind of become your coping mechanism.
Totally.
Like the old adage, a problem shared is a problem halved.
Yes.
Has become,
I feel lighter.
What's helped you through it the last few days.
Yeah.
Who knows? That coping mechanism could change again for you
exactly
in the future as this continues. But I'm interested to know too, like what people have done who are struggling to conceive.
Yeah.
What they have done to cope, because that is so important.
It is.
Looking after yourself is so important.
It can be all consuming. It can be really, on your mind 24/7, and you need something there to help you cope with that.
You were Nev saying yesterday, like simple things that I wouldn't even think of.
Yeah.
Like going to the grocery store or going for a walk along the beach or whatever, and just seeing, like going out for breakfast and seeing babies, like that, even that is triggering.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to cope.
You need to be,
because that stuff is always going to be around.
You have to be able to live life while going through this journey. So coping mechanisms, I'd love to hear how other women and men cope, what they use to be able to cope through this process. And I think, you know, sharing these coping mechanisms could help others as well, because you might be able to draw from other people's experience. 100%. So 131060, what is your coping mechanism when it comes to the stress and the consumption of trying to conceive?
131060, if you've been in this situation or you've got I don't know, a bit of expertise in this field, and you can just, I don't know, offer up an opinion. But 131060, what's your coping mechanism? Flo is here. Morning, Flo.
Good morning.
How are you going, Flo?
I'm good, thank you.
What's your coping mechanism, Flo, when it comes to the journey of trying to conceive?
Well, I turned to my husband then and my family, which I had really great support, so...
Yeah, I've definitely found that over the last few days. It's very helpful. How do you kind of put it out of your mind when you are in the depths of it?
Well, I get busy and my husband looked into other ways of doing it naturally, and he came up with apple cider vinegar and honey.
Oh, what?
3 times a day.
Together?
And, if both of you do it, yes, it's very high in conceiving.
Interesting.
Now, earthy boys, so.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, work for you.
Apple cider
vinegar and honey. Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know how that would taste.
Very old wives' talesy. Give it a go. Alyssa's here. Hey, Alyssa. Morning.
How you going?
Good. Thanks, Alyssa. What's your coping mechanism?
Hey, look, the only advice I have, do anything that you can to keep your mind off it.
What did you do specifically for that?
Look, don't make it a baby-making episode.
Yeah.
Try and keep the romance in it. Through the day, focus on your health, get out in the environment, do anything that actually de-stresses you without putting the focus on making babies.
Right.
Unfortunately, I ended up with IVF.
Yeah.
First time did work. That's after 8 years of trying. My next 4 goes of IVF didn't work.
Oh, wow.
So if you do have to go down that path, make sure that you've got plenty of support. The only other thing that I can probably give advice to people who are looking on from the outside is offer support. Don't keep saying, hey, you're pregnant yet.
Right.
Or when you're going to have a baby.
I love that. You never know. I love that advice.
And we touched on that the other day as well too. I think it's a default for so many people.
How's it going?
Get married. How's it going when you're going to have babies?
Yeah.
And, you don't realise it's just not like that for
And if you know someone is trying, don't ask how they're going, but be there if they want to talk to you.
Nah, 100%. 131060, Jane, good morning.
Good morning. I went through acupuncture.
Oh, yeah.
My GP gave me a Chinese acupuncturist that helped me, and I was in my third lot of IVF.
Right.
And I conceived and I had twins. Unfortunately, I lost one of the twins at 9 weeks. I had an ectopic and a normal pregnancy.
Oh, wow.
But my little girl is now 18 and living home and at university.
Wow.
So acupuncture.
Acupuncture was a way that you...
Was it relaxing?
...managed to cope.
Yeah, it was the way I relaxed. But it's got to be a Chinese acupuncturist.
Look, as we say, it's always meaty stuff. If these conversations raise any issues within you, you can contact Lifeline on 13 11 14 or at lifeline.org.au. There's a lot of don'ts on social media in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Don't share a post claiming that Facebook is going to donate $5 to a cause for every share that the post gets. I'm looking at you, Mum. Don't do that.
It's the chain mail of social media, isn't it? Like, we used to get them in the mail. Now it's actually on socials.
On socials. There's so many, like, little don'ts when it comes to social media. One kind of popped up in my life a couple of days ago when, I don't know why we're friends. We're not even friends. But it's a guy who I went to school with. He lives in Broome in Western Australia now, so it's very, very far
away. He's not listening.
He's not listening. And I've noticed, and it's only because I did a little search, he must have shut down his Facebook account because his wife has now renamed her social media account his name as well. So they had two separate profiles and they've now merged them. into one profile.
So is it like John and Jane, like the N in between?
We're going to get to that.
Okay, okay.
Right, that's totally a thing because it's time, Gabby. We ask the question.
What's the deal with
shared Facebook accounts? I don't know about the rest of Queensland, but this has been a bee in my bonnet for the best part of a decade. For the life of me, I cannot understand why a couple would want to share a Facebook account. If this is you, I'm just going to tell you right now, everyone's looking at your profile asking the question, who cheated?
Oh my God, aren't they? Yes.
Sorry, but it's the first assumption we all jump to. One of you must have cheated, and there's some weird trust dynamic messing with your relationship that's now out there for the whole world to see.
Yep.
And like you said, Gabby, what's with the weird profile name? Facebook only allows a first and a last name, leaving shared profiles with titles like Jennifer Ben or Melissa Bryce. Totally made up examples, not based on anyone in particular. Your weird names look ridiculous. Last but not least, we so-called friends of yours have no idea who we're actually talking to. And let's be honest, the way you talk to a mate and the way you talk to a mate's missus or fella is completely different. If I spoke to my mate's partners the way I speak to my mates, I'd probably be in jail right now. Shared Facebook accounts are weird. The platform is not set up to support them, and you're just confusing and frustrating all of us.
Yep.
I'm Guy Clifton. What's the deal with shared Facebook accounts? Next week on the show, overusing hashtags. Just who the hell are you trying to impress?
Fake nail fail. So I've had two fake nail fails so far. When I first got my fake nails back, it's been about a year since I've had them, and they are long and pointy, and I really enjoy them. But there are some things you can't do when you've got crazy long nails. The first is picking your nose
has been quite the issue.
It has. And the second being undoing tight knots. Very difficult with fake nail fails. Yesterday, however, I found another issue that could possibly come with having long, pointy nails. And it all happened because fiancé Nev and I were in the kitchen. I was getting dinner ready. He came over and he was being the loving fiancé that he is and was just giving me a bit of a cuddle, and it was really nice.
Oh, was it the kind of thing like, you know, I know you're being nice right now, but I'm actually, like, I'm doing something.
I'm cooking. No, well, it wasn't because I was waiting for something to kind of be ready.
So you had a break in the schedule. So a little bit of lovey-dovey.
It was okay.
Could slip it in there.
Yes. So
the cuddle, I mean. The cuddle. That's all.
So we're having a bit of a cuddle and a bit of a kiss. And we started to get into the cuddle. Like, nothing over the top.
No, I mean,
nothing
you're still in the kitchen.
Exactly. Nothing that the neighbours would be horrified to see. But what I did was I went to rub my hands up Nev's torso. From, like, belly button up to his shoulders.
Is
just, like, rub them up.
Over the top of shirt?
Over the top of shirt.
Underneath shirt?
Over the top
right,
of shirt.
We weren't underneath shirt.
No, we weren't at that point. So my hands were going up his body, and as my hands went up his body, my very, very sharp long nail got caught on his nipple.
On his nip?
And I'm pretty sure by his reaction, I nearly pierced
it. Nearly ripped it right off. So how 1990s, like if you see Nev getting around now with bleach blonde hair and
a nipple
ring,
piercing.
Like, blame Gabby for that one.
I've revealed previously on this show that I love looking up house listings that I could never afford.
You're a real estate pervert.
I am. That's exactly what I am. I love looking at homes and just dreaming of what if, like, one day when I'm a millionaire, this will be my house kind of thing.
Win me. There's $1 million alpha bucks. That's the house for me.
That's it. And there's, like, I've been watching a few shows on TV. Selling Sunset's one of them. Lux listings in Sydney's another one. Like, I just love looking at these places.
You've got the Foxtel binge app.
Yeah.
Someone called $1 million listing. And they've got, like, they got the New York one, the LA one. Oh, they're so good.
So good.
It's real estate porn.
It is. Oh, it's the best. But occasionally I do come across one that is more interesting than it is aspirational. And there's one that's actually a rental, not even to purchase, in North Queensland at the moment. It doesn't say exactly where it is because this it's getting a lot of attention.
Right.
So you have to apply
right.
to get the address. It's $900 a week, so it ain't cheap. And it's beautiful being in North Queensland. It's got a beautiful pool, a magnesium pool at that.
Oh, wow.
It even has a fully equipped outdoor kitchen. Oof. It has a lock-up garage, a shed, a workshop and sleep out and bathroom out there. It's just beautiful. Mm. It's absolutely gorgeous. But as you scroll through the photos, there's also like a rumpus room or a media room that's full of taxidermy animals. And I mean full. There's about 25 to 30 busts on the wall. There is a full bear. There is some kind of rammy thing. And there are two full mountain goats sitting on fake rocks.
It's like the room that Jim Carrey's character, Ace Ventura, walks into in Ace Ventura Pet Detective. And I, if you remember, like he
But they're
sees
all alive?
No.
One?
He walks in and they're all, in this scene, they're all mounted and they're all dead in that. And he just has a full panic attack.
Yes.
Jim Carrey style.
Yeah, that's exactly what it, like all these things are just staring at you. And the photo is really confronting, but it's okay. Because when you read the listing, it says the taxidermy animals are not included.
No deal.
Damn it.
I'm a morbid death freak. Ronnie likes the dead animals. The Hit Breakfast Show.